Democratic presidential hopeful John Kerry is trying to lay out a new foreign policy vision with special focus on Iraq.
Let me tell you exactly what I would do to change the situation in Iraq. I would immediately reach out to the international community in sharing the burden, the risk, because they also have a stake in the outcome of what is happening in Iraq.
But beyond trying to bring in allies, does Kerry have an exit strategy? And how would he rebuild alliances? How would a Democratic foreign policy be different from the Bush administration's? With these questions in mind, NPR's Michelle Kellerman set out to talk to Democratic foreign policy practitioners in Washington, D.C.
Our first stop is the Albright Group, the office run by former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright. She still lives and breathes foreign policy. She even jokes about how politics influences her choice of fashion pins.
I am meeting with the Chinese today, and the Chinese year the monkey. And so that's why I thought I'd have these three monkeys, the hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil monkeys.
You must have an incredible collection at home.
I have a fun collection, and it all started when Saddam Hussein called me a snake, and I happened to have a snake pin. And I've just bought a new snake pin, which has a sword pierced through the snake, because I thought we could put an end to that.
As we speak to Madeleine Albright, her former spokesman Jamie Rubin chats with some of her staffers. He's working just downstairs at the Kerry campaign headquarters. Albright says being neighbors has made the office building livelier and gives her a chance to offer some policy advice. She admits America's foreign policy agenda has been set by the Bush administration, and Kerry, if elected, will have to deal with what she calls the mistakes in Iraq.
That does not mean that there would not be agenda items that are really related to the things that Senator Kerry has talked about. And North Korea, I would submit, is one of the most dangerous places in the world. We have lost 3.5 years on that issue, and I'm sure that unless there is some resolution, that a President Kerry would see that as a very top agenda item.
You've been to North Korea. The Clinton administration negotiated a deal with North Korea, hoping that would stop its production of weapons of mass destruction, production of nuclear weapons. The North Koreans cheated on this agreement. I mean, what would you tell Kerry to do?
Well, first of all, I think we have to remember that we do not sign arms control agreements with our friends. We sign them with our enemies. And what an arms control agreement does is create a system whereby you can call the signatories to task for cheating. During the Cold War, we thought that the Soviets were cheating a number of times. They thought we were cheating. There was a process that dealt with those questions, and you tried to resolve them. And that has been abandoned.
Do you think President Bush has done anything in foreign policy that's irreversible?
Well, I think that he has made, in many ways, some steps that have created a greater danger to us. I think the North Korean issue has. I think that there is a real question as to whether there are more al-Qaeda and terrorist cells than there were before. And clearly, the situation in Iraq is a mixed issue. I mean, I'm all for democratization, but you have to offer it. You can't impose it. And by imposing it, and by presenting the Greater Middle East Initiative, which is viewed, again, as an American imposition of ideas on some of the most volatile areas in the world, in the Middle East, has created more problems than solved them. And so it's necessary to change direction.
John Kerry for President, could you please hold? Thank you. John Kerry for President, could you please hold?
At the Kerry campaign headquarters, we caught up with the senator's top foreign policy advisor, Rand Beers, a counterterrorism expert who left the Bush White House just last year.
Yeah.
Oh, fabulous.
We just came down three floors from Madeleine Albright's office down here, and I wonder what kind of foreign policy advice Kerry's getting. Do you tap into this expertise on the floors upstairs?
Oh, we certainly do. We didn't choose, obviously, to be located here because the Albright Group was on the 10th floor, but it's certainly true that the Albright Group represents one of the various brain trusts that exist in Washington. And they brought us cookies when we first moved in down here as a welcoming to this building.
Beers says Senator Kerry has been consulting with several other Clinton-era officials as well, former National Security Advisor Sandy Berger, former Defense Minister William Perry, and Ambassador Richard Holbrooke, among others. The main theme of the Democratic campaign has been rebuilding alliances. We pressed Rand Beers on why Kerry is so sure he'll get more help in Iraq even as the coalition crumbles.
Countries in Europe and around the world have made clear that without a mandate which gives a UN responsible entity the leadership on the political side, other nations are not even going to consider contributing other military or civilian forces to resolve the issue in Iraq. And that's what we need, to take the situation and move it to a broader international coalition. We have to cede responsibility to the UN on the political side.
Is the U.S. going to have to send more troops, and would Senator Kerry do that if needed?
Senator Kerry has already said that he is prepared in the current situation, as unfavorable as the choice is, to send more troops in order to stabilize the situation.
He's been accused of flip-flopping on Iraq. It's one of the common themes that we keep hearing, that first you have to stay in until we get the job done, or the other side is, well, we'll pull out even before it becomes a democracy, just as long as it's stable. Can you give voters a better sense of what his exit strategy is?
Senator Kerry would look at the security side and say, without stability, the situation in Iraq will remain perilous, and we cannot be in a situation of withdrawing in an unstable security situation. When he talks about the governance side, he talks about a country that is free, that has representative government, that has protection for minority rights. Clearly, those are goals that we want to achieve. Do we need to have substantial military forces to get to some perfect form of democracy? No. We have to get the stability, and then we have to see whether or not we are far enough along on the governance channel to see whether or not it's appropriate to begin to withdraw forces, not to leave. We're not talking about leaving here. We're not talking about cutting and running.
Rand Beers also suggested that, if elected, President Kerry would boost the troop levels in Afghanistan. Beers complains that the U.S. dropped the ball in Afghanistan, and that's one of the reasons he left the Bush administration. Again, Beers was vague about where the U.S. would find resources for nation building, aside from reaching out to allies. He dodged a question about whether the Kerry campaign has already been in touch with supporters in Europe.
As Senator Kerry has quite correctly said, we don't talk about contacts in any specificity with foreign governments.
But you've been hearing positive signals?
Use your own correspondence and ask in every capital.
Hello?
A few blocks away at the Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies, Zbigniew Brzezinski believes the Democrats need an alternative to the Bush administration's war on terrorism.
In my view, the administration is too narrowly focused, too preoccupied with a single word, and perhaps too much driven either by fear or is at least inclined to stimulate fear in the public.
Zbigniew Brzezinski, who was President Carter's national security advisor, says he can't speak for John Kerry, but expects the candidate will develop a foreign policy strategy.
I have tried to lay one out in my most recently published book called The Choice, where I do argue that there are things that we ought to be addressing in common with some of our key allies, and that we shouldn't succumb to the very easy, but I think overly expedient and transient, temptation just to work with a so-called coalition of the willing, because increasingly we see that the coalition of the willing has been a coalition of the bribed, and some of them are in fact pulling out.
One of the things European allies and particularly now Arab states are very worried about is the U.S. policy shift on the Middle East. The U.S. once called Jewish settlements in the West Bank obstacles to peace. Now President Bush says they're realities on the ground. He made those comments when he endorsed Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon's plans to pull settlements out of Gaza, but to keep settlements in the West Bank. John Kerry has said he supports the U.S. position on Israel, and I wonder if, is this just an issue that no one wants to touch in an election year?
I suspect that's largely the case. I suspect there's no payoff in making distinctions or even in raising alternatives. I would guess that over time there would be a change if Kerry was elected, simply because Bush's foreign policy tends to be made largely by a rather extremist group, which has very extremist views, particularly regarding the Middle East. My guess is that if there was a change in the presidency, we would be more likely to return to some form of bipartisanship in foreign policy. And that, as of itself, would mean some shift in the content of foreign policy.
But for now, John Kerry and the country are in the midst of a very partisan debate over foreign policy tactics, if not goals. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.